The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What is going on, Bills Mafia? It is your host, AJ Cebulski, with another edition of AJ's Analysis. A lot to talk about today, a big week for the Buffalo Bills in general. It all comes down to this, really, a winning in situation. You're the 2 seed. And then if you lose, you're going to need some help from, you know, a couple other AFC contenders. Today, I am joined by Mike Bunt from Trainwreck Sports. Go and give him a follow on Twitter at Mike_Bunt. And he also does Bunt Takes as well. So he does some cool stuff over there. Check him out. Mike, how you doing today?
Doing great, AJ. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Yeah, so we have a lot to talk about. We're going to recap this Bills versus Patriots game a little bit, talk about some key standouts and, you know, maybe some Pro Bowl talk a little bit as well, because that was some news as well. And then Justin Shorter is now, you know, his IR kind of – he's going back on IR. They're stashing him for numbers reasons, and he's kind of out for the year. And then we'll look at the playoff scenarios for this week, and then we will focus on Dolphins-Bills. So – let's start with this Bills-Patriots matchup. Bailey Zappe turns the ball over 3 times in the air, 3 interceptions. The Bills defense did a great job. The beneficiary of that was Rasul Douglas, and I want to start right there. You know, 3 passes defended in this one. The first one of those pass breakups led to an Ed Oliver one-handed interception, which is a pretty special play for Ed. He's just been on a tear this year. Unbelievable. He actually missed the Pro Bowl, which is pretty crazy that the – He's probably playing the best football of his life, and he denied the Pro Bowl. But again, that shows you kind of where the Pro Bowl's at. I kind of think it's not as serious as it used to be. But let's start with Rasul Douglas. 2 interceptions, 1 return for a touchdown, three pass breakups. He's just been great ever since coming to Buffalo. He's done a really good job. 4 interceptions in his 8 games, and that's, you know, that's what he does. So talk about Rasul and just his performance last week and just his overall, you know, how Brandon Bean was able to kind of get this guy.
Yeah, Rasul Douglas has been an incredible pickup. Probably the move of the trade deadline across the NFL based on the added value he brought to Buffalo. When he came to the Bills, people were hoping he would be a solid starter, someone that would fill the void of Trey White. He's playing at a level even higher than what Trey White was when he was to start the season. So Rasul Douglas has been an impact player. Not only has he been great in coverage, but he has been creating takeaways, getting interceptions, and really putting his impact on these games, single-handedly basically giving the Bills the game against the Patriots. So that's the type of guy that makes this Bills defense dangerous going forward and into the playoffs if they make it.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Yeah, Christian Benford, another, you know, stellar performance from him as well. I think the cornerback situation, Mike, looking forward, not the two ahead of ourselves with Benford, Douglas. You got Trey White still in the realm of things. Kair Elam, if they decide to keep him this offseason, he's still in the mix. Dane Jackson's probably gone just because I think the depth they have, and they've already swung, and kind of used another year on him, re-signing him. So it'll be interesting to see how they go about that. Another great performance from Terrell Bernard, 8 solo tackles, 2 sacks, 3 tackles for a loss. Just another – I mean, he's just been, again, like – Terrell Bernard, I don't know your preseason expectations, but he has shot the most, and Bernard has been able to put together one of the best seasons from a middle linebacker in Bills history. So just talk about Terrell Bernard and just his ability to continue to make plays and kind of dominate games.
He's going to be a stud in the NFL, if not already. I was higher on him than many people were entering the season. I thought – based on stuff I was hearing from Bill sources, that he was going to be the starting middle linebacker heading into the season. The only thing that kind of put doubt in me was the fact that he wasn't able to play in the preseason. But prior to his injury, I was pretty sure he was going to win that starting competition. I never expected anything that we're seeing from him now. The fact that he has 6.5 sacks, 3 interceptions, 3 fumble recoveries. He's been all over the field. And this linebacking core has, for the most part, withstood the injury to Matt Milano and still played very well, which is probably the most shocking development of this season. The fact that they're able to get by with Terrell Bernard and Tyrell Dodson. You look at this linebacking group. Once Milano returns to the picture, Bernard and Milano might be one of the best coverage unit linebackers in the entire NFL. And now you add in Bernard's instincts, the ability to rush the passer, get to the quarterback and get some sacks. It actually adds another dimension to what we've seen from this group that we really haven't seen much in the past. No offense to Tremaine Edmonds. He's a good player, but Terrell Bernard just has a way of making impact plays that Tremaine Edmonds never did really have when in Buffalo.
Yeah, you're 100% correct there. He's a splash play kind of guy. The Bills offense, mediocre in this one, 281 total yards, 19 first downs. Josh Allen, another subpar day, I would say, after, again, another rough Chargers game. I just thought, especially in the first half, he just seemed off. And then that Dalton Cade deep ball, per se, kind of got him going in the second half. He had, like, more passing yards in the first drive of the third quarter than he did in all the first half. He finished the day 15 of 30 for 169 yards and 1 interceptions. No, it ends his 23 straight game passing touchdown streak that led the NFL. So that came to an end against the Patriots. But he did find the end zone twice. They've been using the tush push more. 44 yards on the ground for 2 touchdowns for Josh. I want to talk about Josh Allen's performance. What were your thoughts? And are you worried at all about this passing game under Joe Brady? They've kind of shown the last couple of weeks that whether it's the offensive line having trouble at times or the receivers getting separation or drops or Josh just being off target, they haven't seemed to click. And you want to be clicking right now at this time, especially with a game like the Dolphins coming up this week.
Yeah, there's no denying that Josh Allen has struggled passing the ball in recent weeks. Am I concerned about it? Not overly concerned. I still think they're one play away from getting back on track and lighting things up. I do think that this offense is dealing with some things right now. Obviously, Josh had injured his shoulder earlier this year. I think it was probably worse than what many people previously realized. Obviously, speculation on my part, but I think Josh has been battling through a lot of things this year. It's not it's not revolutionary to say that this group of weapons isn't exactly the best that Josh Allen has had in Buffalo. I've been a fan of Gabe Davis in the past, but very inconsistent this year. I like what Khalil Shakir will bring into the future, but he's still a developing second-year player. Dalton Kincaid is having a fantastic rookie year, but he is still a rookie and has had a few drops. So I do think they are going through some growing pains at times offensively. And if we're being real, where there's smoke, there's sometimes fire. And when you see Stephon Diggs having a reduced snap share and going through these struggles, you have to wonder if he is dealing with anything specifically right now too, because they're targeting him at five or less yards right now quite a bit. He's receiving about a target to two targets less per game the last 6 or 7 weeks compared to earlier this season. And when they are throwing to him, they've just haven't found that connection the last 4 or 5 weeks. First 10 weeks of the season, he was on pace for a year where he was going to have around 125 catches. He was easily going to get around 14, 1,500 yards, 12, 13, 14 touchdowns. The last 6, 7 weeks, he's averaging a little over 4 catches a game for a little over 30 yards and only has 1 touchdown during that span. So is the passing game off? I think it's quite obvious it is. But is it because of Josh, or is it because of other issues that the receivers are facing right now? I think it's probably a combination of many different factors, as well as trying to get used to Joe Brady overall. The one good thing you can say about this offense right now, though, is that they really have found a way to establish the run under Joe Brady. And James Cook has elevated himself to being one of the better, I would say, a top 5 to 7 running back in the league, and very much deserving of his Pro Bowl nomination.
Yeah, James Cook in the Patriots game, 16 carries for 48 yards. Only 3 yards of carry in this one. Obviously, the Patriots are a very good run defense team, if not one of the best, maybe the best run defense team in the league. You look at, back to Diggs, he had that rushing carry in the red zone, 1 carry for 5 yards, and then 4 for 26 in the air. There's been a couple times the last couple of weeks, or I would just say one instance in one each game, where Allen had Diggs deep. Diggs got by the defender and they just missed. Allen underthrew against the Chargers. And then last week, Diggs had the guy beat for a touchdown and Allen overthrew it. So you're right, Mike. That connection just hasn't been there. I think there's been a more diverse personnel package usage with Joe Brady. You've seen a lot of more Trent Sherfield, which I don't think is a good thing at this point. I think Trent Sherfield and Deontay Hardy to this point have been very unimpressive, to say the least, for this Bills receiving core. Two guys that they kind of banked on coming in. You thought Trent Sherfield could kind of be that upgrade over Jake Kumerow in the special teams unit, as well as in the pass game. That hasn't been the case. And then Deontay Hardy, you thought would be that gadget punt returner that would be that step up from Isaiah McKenzie. That also hasn't been the case, I don't think. He's been very average or below average this year for the Bills and in the grand scheme of things. So Dalton Kincaid, another good game, 4 for 87. I think he's continuing to evolve. He's such a good player, and I'm really impressed with what he's been able to do this year. Broke the rookie reception record for the Bills in this one. So he's setting records for the Bills. It's pretty impressive for him. What do you make of this running back dynamic here with James Cook, Ty Johnson, Latavius Murray? Do you want to see Ty Johnson get the ball more? Do you want to see Leonard Fournette active over Latavius Murray? Just maybe your thoughts on Murray, and then just moving forward, what do you got, kind of want to see the running back share, the running back snap count kind of look like?
The running back share right now, I think the running back room is in a very good place, in my opinion. James Cook has shown he can take a larger carry load, something that many people had a lot of questions coming out of Georgia and entering the NFL. Would he be able to be the main guy getting 15 plus carries a game? Under Dorsey earlier this year, he was getting about 14 and a half touches per game. And this number is from a couple of weeks ago, but once Joe Brady took over, that number was approaching 20 plus touches per game. So Joe Brady, one of the first things he did after taking over was to basically say, I need to get James Cook more involved in this offense. And it's paying off for this Bills team. James Cook, like you said earlier, has made the Pro Bowl, the first Bills running back over 1,000 yards since 2017 in LeSean McCoy. He is top 5 in all-purpose yards His yards per carry is solid. He's been solid in the passing game, where he had back-to-back games with the receiving touchdown, the first Bills running back to do that since Thurman Thomas. Ty Johnson has had a few solid games recently. I think he looks like the number two running back, in my opinion, at this moment in time. Has a nice little explosiveness, a little bit of physicality to his game. I am fine whatever way they want to go with the three running back, whether that be Latavius Murray or Leonard Fournette. Obviously, Murray has been with the team the entire season, so maybe he has a slight edge in the locker room. But I wouldn't mind if Leonard Fournette eventually does take over that job. Obviously, he's only played one game this year, a little bit healthier. I've been told the Bills specifically added Leonard Fournette, and basically their thought process being, we need a bigger, bulkier back in case we play in a weather-type playoff game where we just need to pound the rock and we need to have that physical mindset, something that they didn't have last year against Cincinnati. So is Leonard Fournette ever going to be the three running back on this team? Who knows? But you might just see him when that weather forecast gets a little bit worse moving forward. But as it stands right now, I'm pretty content with the current state of the running back room.
Yeah, I'm with you with Ty Johnson. I've kind of been advocating that for over a month now. I think Ty Johnson has shown every time he gets in there, he flashes. His ability to finish runs at the second level, kind of put his shoulder down, get extra yardage. Good in the kickoff return game as well. I thought he's had a couple of good moments there. He's struggled there at times as well, but overall, I think he's done a good job in that role. So hope to see more from Ty Johnson moving forward. The Bills win this one 27-21. They were up in the first half 20-14, and then two touchdowns by each team in the second half kind of set the tone there. 10-6, winners of four straight, have a chance to win five straight. Really quick, I just want to take a look at the Pro Bowl numbers here. Or not Pro Bowl numbers, but the Pro Bowl people. Deion Dawkins was the other Pro Bowl player for the Bills. Deion Dawkins, I think, having a career year in terms of just all that stuff. He's been absolutely unbelievable. First alternates, Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs. Second alternates, Leonard Floyd and Mitch Morris. Third alternates, Dalton Kincaid and Ed Oliver. Ed Oliver being a third alternate is just absurd. And then fifth alternate, Dawson Knox, which, I mean, you can kind of make that what it is. That's whatever. I mean, Dawson Knox, I think, is just kind of maybe a popular name, and it kind of is becoming a popularity contest. So it makes sense. Ed Oliver, again, a third alternate. Terrell Bernard isn't even an alternate. So that just kind of tells you, you look at Roger Saffold making it last year for the Bills. Then you look at who didn't make the original team this year. The Dolphins actually had quite a few guys, the team we're going to talk about here in a bit, make the Pro Bowl this year. So let's move to these playoff scenarios that I'm very intrigued about. It all starts Saturday at 4:30, Mike. The Steelers play the Ravens. The Ravens will be not starting Lamar Jackson. He will be out. Tyler Huntley will get the nod in this one. People speculated that, you know, in 2019 they did the same thing where they rest their starters. They come out in the divisional round against the Titans and come out flat, and it cost them. They're sticking to what they did that year and probably going to rest majority of their starters, if not all of them, with Lamar being out. So that's a matchup that the Bills need. So here's the scenarios. The simplest one, obviously, the Bills win, beat Miami. You're the two seed. That's the easiest path. You're looking at probably either like a Colts-Texans matchup, possibly a Steelers. And then you're looking at another home game either against the Chiefs or the Jaguars or Browns if they match up and that works out how it's supposed to. Then if that doesn't work, so say the Bills lose Sunday night. Now, going into this game, we're obviously going to know where the Bills stand. So it's either going to be you're in the playoffs going into it or you're out. So that's kind of because you're the last game of the week. So the other way the Bills can clinch is a Pittsburgh loss or tie, a Jacksonville loss or tie, or then, you know, in the craziest kind of scenario, Houston and Indy tie, which would be crazy if that happened. So, Mike, just kind of your thoughts on these scenarios. What's the most realistic to you? Obviously, if the Bills control what they can control. But it's your thoughts on the other matchups, Jacksonville's matchup and Pittsburgh's as well.
Easiest way to make it, just win and get in. But if you were to look at both matchups, is there a chance one of those teams could lose and get you in a back door for a wild card spot for the seventh seed, it's still possible. I wouldn't rule it out 100%. How likely is it? Probably, I would say less than a 50% chance of happening. Can Tennessee take down Jacksonville? Absolutely. Jacksonville's not playing great football right now. It's a division game. Tennessee will probably still be inspired to try to knock a divisional rival out of the playoffs. So certainly possible that you could see an upset there. I give that game maybe like a 20%, 25% chance that Tennessee takes down the Jags. As far as Baltimore-Pittsburgh, it's obviously disappointing that Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, the majority of the Ravens starters, aren't going to be fully motivated in this contest, but you can't blame them. They've achieved what all of their goals were for the regular season. They won the AFC North. They've got the number one seed locked up. So they really don't need to play for anything. And congrats to them on that. It does suck from a Bills perspective, because if we're being real, there's probably very little chance that Pittsburgh would beat a healthy Baltimore team battling for something a week 18. And you would see the Bills basically get in that way. I would say if you had a healthy, motivated Ravens team, I'd give them a 75, 80% chance of winning that game. And the Bills would basically lock things up before this contest. Can Tyler Huntley and some Ravens backups beat Pittsburgh? I think it's still possible. I don't think it's a lock that they're going to lose. Let's remember, they're playing Mason Rudolph on the other side of the field. And sure, Rudolph has been good the two games he's played in so far, but he's the Pittsburgh third-string quarterback. We're talking about a third-string quarterback going up against a second-string quarterback. It's not like Mason Rudolph is a bona fide starter in the NFL. There's a chance he could go into this game against Baltimore and look awful, score 7-10 points, and Baltimore finds a way to squeak out a 13-10 win or something like that. I would probably also put that under 50%, just like the Jacksonville-Tennessee game. But you never know. Tyler Huntley almost led the Ravens over the Bengals last year in the playoffs. So stranger things have happened, but if it will take place, it's going to have to probably be a low-scoring game where Baltimore still plays a decent amount of their starters outside of guys that are hurt or too valuable to put out there. And then lastly, just take care of business. If you take care of business, that doesn't matter what Pittsburgh or Jacksonville do. You're playing a team that you won by 28 points against earlier this season, that you've won 10 of your last 12 contests against overall. This is a Miami team that the Bills have owned in the last 5 years. I know they're a lot more talented than what they have been, especially skill position wise on offense. But if the Bills go out there and bring their best effort, they have an even better chance of making a Super Bowl run by just clinching that two seed and setting themselves up in a position to where they can possibly make a run to win it all.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, I'm with you. It sucks because if the Dolphins were able to lose to the Cowboys and then the Dolphins knocked off the Ravens, like, that would have been the most ideal situation for Bills fans, just because you look at that scenario, the Ravens would still have something to play for because they would have lost to the Dolphins and dropped a game. And then the Dolphins would have had it still a fifth loss. Now, if the Ravens beat the Dolphins last week, the Bills aren't even playing for the two seed right now. They're playing basically you're guaranteeing yourself, not guaranteeing yourself, but you have a really good chance of making the wild card because of the fact that the Ravens are going to have to play for something. So I look at it as the division is always the goal, and you want to be the two seed, and the Bills have a great chance to do that. So let's get into this game, Mike. I want to start with this lengthy injury report for both teams. Sean McDermott and Josh Allen spoke today. Josh Allen's good to go. His neck was fine. He also popped up on the injury report with a finger injury, which no one really asked in the media. I didn't know if anyone really knew about it. But the Bills are actually, I wouldn't say lengthy injury report for the Bills, actually. I take that back. They only have five on the injury report, Mike. Leonard Floyd was a do not practice on Wednesday with a rib rest. Edge Von Miller, vet rest on a do not practice, which is kind of funny that, you know, healthy and active, and now he's vet rest. I mean, that's just a hole. I was going to get into that, but kind of talked about it last week, and I think Von just, at this point, I think maybe it was, you know, give him a week off and see if it can kind of click or something can kind of turn around. Damar Hamlin still dealing with that shoulder injury. He was limited in practice Wednesday. Micah Hyde, neck, more maintenance, I think, at this point, limited on Wednesday. And then Josh Allen, obviously, full with the neck and finger injury. Now, you look at this Dolphins injury report, Mike. It's a very, very lengthy one, unfortunate for the Dolphins heading into this division matchup. You have Tyreek Hill's house going on fire, which, again, that's, you know, thank God everyone's safe in that situation. That was a had to leave practice. There's a live stream going on of it with Tyreek kind of arriving to the scene and the firefighters fighting the fire above the house. And it's just a crazy thing, like the big division matchup, and you got this going on. His foot was in a walking boot. So he's still dealing with that ankle injury, and as well as now this personal life stuff that's on top of it, dealing with his house not burning down, but a pretty big fire at his house. So thank God everything's safe. But again, that's just going to add to a distraction for the Dolphins heading into this one. Now, injury report. Teron Armstead did not practice, knee, ankle, back. Bradley Chubb out for the year with an ACL injury, did not practice. Xavien Howard looks like he's not going to be able to go, did not practice with the foot. Raheem Mostert, a guy that there's a lot of question marks about going into this game, didn't play last week, but it was kind of a weird pop-up injury. He did not practice as well with a knee and ankle. Jalen Waddle, also out with a high ankle sprain, did not practice on Wednesday. And then you look at the limited guys, Devon Achane, limited with a toe and ribs injury. Jerome Baker, limited with a knee. Liam Eisenberg, calf ankle limited. He's been playing some okay football this year. Javon Holland, knees, so both knees. He's limited on Wednesday. Tyreek Hill, ankle limited. And then I could keep going and going, but Tyreek, and then Tua also is dealing with that shoulder injury. So there's that left shoulder injury. Now, he was full, but that's still something to monitor. Just let's look at the injuries first, Mike. And I went through and rattled off a lot of names for the Dolphins and then looked at all the Bills' names. Is this, you know, an advantage for the Bills going into this game? You know you lost a lot of players early in the year, but the Dolphins' injuries seem to be mounting up here.
Yeah, I would not want to be a Dolphins fan right now with all these injuries that are mounting up, especially in a game where the winner takes the AFC East. It just seems like they're at a disadvantage with all of the guys that they're potentially to be missing in this contest. You talk about Tyreek Hill. Obviously, he's going to play. He's been playing the last few weeks. But there are some signs that show maybe he is dealing with some stuff. The last 3 weeks, 76 yards, 6 receptions on 12 targets against Baltimore, 99 yards on 9 receptions against Dallas, and then he had 61 yards on 4 receptions against Tennessee. And while those sound like good numbers, the previous 3 games he went for 157, 102, 146, and had 4 touchdowns. So he definitely has seen his lowest 3-game stretch of the season recently after being on the injury report. Jalen Waddle, that's a really big one because you look at this Miami Dolphins passing game. It's heavy focus on Tyreek and Jalen Waddle. The Bills have had success slowing Tyreek Hill down in the past, at least in the regular season. If Waddle is out for the game, that takes out their 1B and lets the Bills put a larger focus on stopping Tyreek Hill, which could bring some trouble to this Dolphins offense. The two running backs going through things, I don't know the severity of them. Obviously, Achane still played this past week and had a solid game. Raheem Mostert was out, but Raheem Mostert's been having a fantastic year. If he was to be out of this game, you would think that would be a big thing for the Bills going forward. Some of the defensive injuries, Xavien Howard, if he doesn't play, that's a huge difference, at least for the Bills passing offense. And then you're talking about some of the guys that are out for the year. No Bradley Chubb in this game. He's been an impact player this year, over 11 sacks. And then even Jalen Phillips from earlier in the year getting hurt and now out for the season. So this is not the same Dolphins team that the Bills played early on in the season when Buffalo won by 28. It's most likely a weaker version of that squad. So doesn't mean that Miami isn't dangerous and not capable of winning and putting on a show, but it does show that the Dolphins are kind of reeling right now. They're dealing with some of the same issues that the Bills dealt with in October when they lost guys like Tre'Davious White and Matt Milano and Daquan Jones. While on the Buffalo side, they are at one of their healthier points of the season right now. Obviously, Josh has the neck issue, but sounds like he's good to go. That's not an overly big thing to be concerned about. And then a lot of the other stuff, Micah Hyde's been battling through stuff all season with his neck. Von getting a maintenance day, not a big deal. I know Stephon Diggs isn't on the injury report. You got to wonder if he's going through anything. Don't want to speculate, but obviously a very reduced snap share recently where we're seeing more Trent Sherfield. Let's be real. The Bills aren't putting Trent Sherfield on the field for a larger percentage of snaps because they think he's better than Stephon Diggs or that they think he is better in certain formations. If anyone in Buffalo thinks that they're a better team with Trent Sherfield getting more snaps and Stephon Diggs getting less snaps, well, then you're living in fantasy land right there. So I would venture to say Diggs is probably dealing with some aches and pains, but nothing that he can't play through. But overall, the Bills have a better injury report right now. They're dealing with less serious issues than what the Dolphins are.
Yeah, I agree. Josh Allen going into this one has played 12 career games against Miami. He's 10-2 in those games, 329 total yards a game, 39 total touchdowns, 3.25 per game, 7 interceptions, and a 109.19 QB rating. So he's got to own the Dolphins in his career. And we're going to jump all over the place here because I'm just going to go off the limb here. We're recording pretty early. We're both tired. So we're just going to start spiraling off some things here. The Bills are going into this game without Matt Milano. I don't know if that's something that you've noticed, but it's something I've kind of, as the week's gone on, I'm kind of thinking that I don't know how much the Bills are going to be able to play nickel because I think the Dolphins' game plan is going to be focused on attacking Terrell Dodson and that weakness in pass coverage because his ability, like if you get Achane on Dodson or you're attacking with Hill on Dodson's side of the field. I know Bernard has done a good job, but Dodson is still a weakness in the pass game. And you're now without Matt Milano, who's done a really good job in the past against Tyreek Hill and taking away that middle of the field and those explosive plays. Now you got Terrell Dodson there. So that's going to be the Dolphins kind of approach. In my eyes, is going to say, run the ball. They're going to be a nickel a lot. And then maybe force them to go to some dime looks, bring that third safety in and take off Terrell Dodson. And the Bills are going to kind of have to like say, hey, we're going to let you run the ball down our throat a little bit. So just talk about that aspect of it with no Matt Milano, how the Bills attack the Dolphins offense without him. And if you expect to see more dime looks with a Taylor Rapp out there or Cam Lewis, an extra DB on the field.
It's definitely going to be interesting to see how it all comes together without Matt Milano. That's a big loss for this game. Obviously he made an impact in the earlier season whooping of Miami when the Bills won by 28. Tyrell Dodson, not even close to the coverage linebacker that Milano is. And the Bills did a good job in the middle of the field in that game. So it will be interesting. Will there be a drop-off? How will the Bills handle it? That being said, Tyrell Dodson's been having a really good season based on what we expected from him going into the year. So it'll be interesting how it plays out. The Bills, I think the Bills are going to be aggressive at times. A lot of the narrative going into their last matchup was take away Tua's first read and see what he does when he has to go through his progressions. And you saw early on, Miami had a lot of success. They drove down the field their first two drives, scoring touchdowns. And then really after that, it was kind of a Buffalo butt kicking after that. After it was 14-14, the Bills then scored 34 of the next 40 points to win 48-20. So I would expect the Bills to try to confuse Tua, try to hopefully stop his first looks, send some simulated pressures, try to get some blitzes every once in a while to kind of keep him off guard and overthinking in the pocket. Now, that's easier said than done. The one thing I will say is typically when Miami plays bad teams, it seems like they're just schooling opponents where they have guys running wide open. It just looks easy for this Dolphins defense against a lot of the worst teams in the NFL. And even teams like the Patriots and the Jets who have good defenses, their offenses can't sustain drives. Miami gets so many opportunities offensively that eventually they're going to find a way to click. The one difference I feel like when you're talking about a Sean McDermott defense or any of these other better teams in the NFL when they play Miami is they have more answers for what this Miami offense throws at them. I feel like when Miami played Buffalo the first time, Sean McDermott, it took him that quarter and a half to kind of figure out what Miami was doing. But once he realized what the Dolphins' game plan was and what their strategy was, he had answers to shut it down the rest of the game. So to me, the biggest thing is the game of adjustments. Miami's going to get some points. They're going to move the ball. That's almost a guarantee. What happens after Miami has put some points on the board? Who makes that first major adjustment? And if the Bills defense can figure some things out, I think it could be a tough day for Miami as the game goes on.
Yeah, this is going to be a big game for this Bills defense. I think they're going to have to work cohesively. You need the defensive line, the front four, to be able to get to Tua at times. Now, he will have his clean pockets because he gets the ball out so quickly. So that again, that then turns to the secondary and linebackers and the coverage over the middle of the field. Rasul Douglas, Christian Benford, we spoke about them earlier. Can they continue to play great football? Can they use the dime looks, or can they, you know, bank on Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer and Terrell Dodson and Terrell Bernard to take away that middle of the field? Will they bring up any safeties to show some, like you said, Mike, some blitzes and some different packages, some different looks to Tua? Or will they kind of stay in that too high shell all game and not let them get beat over the top? It will be interesting from a defensive perspective how they're going to be able to, or their approach to stopping this defense without a Matt Milano. Now, I want to look at this tweet from Chris Trapasso. Very good tweet. He's, again, over at CBS Sports. Follow him. He does great draft coverage. And he's also a Bills supporter, and you can check him out on One Bills Live once in a while. Potentially more reason for the Bills to crank up the play action usage in Week 18 versus Miami. The Dolphins defense has allowed a quarterback rating of 104.6, the eighth highest versus play action this season. And then last week, Lamar Jackson, he used it on 44% of his dropbacks against Miami in Week 17. He went 9 of 10 for 159 yards and 3 touchdowns. Absolutely like perfection, one incompletion, 3 touchdowns, 159 yards. And then he piggybacked off that and also said that the Dolphins defense versus motion. And again, Joe Brady is a guy that's been using motion more to kind of look at, are they a man or zone? Do we have some favorable matchups? Can we get Diggs off a bracket on the left side and get him to the right side? Stuff like that, just an advantageous matchups. The Dolphins have allowed 15 touchdowns when teams go in motion on pass plays, and also allow 7.8 yards per attempt. But they also get to the quarterback when teams go in motion, tied for 6th in sacks and tied for 11th with 9 turnovers. So they also make splash plays when these teams are using motion. So it's kind of like a give-and-take kind of situation. Just talk about this offense using play action, using motion, and maybe, you know, just your thoughts on should the Bills use it more or should they continue to, you know, pound the rock a little bit more, use James Cook as much as they can, and utilize the running backs as much as they can.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Using pre-snap motion is going to be paramount in this game. We saw it earlier in the year when the Bills battled Miami that they used a lot of it and they had success using it. Play action definitely would be in favor of that in this contest. Ground, just attacking the ground with James Cook is always a good thing, in my opinion. When the Bills offense was going through their share of struggles early in the year, I thought they should have committed to James Cook sooner. A lot of people, when you have a quarterback like Josh Allen, they think every time you run the ball, it's a detriment to your offense. But when you have a special running back like James Cook and you have a solid offensive line, sometimes that's what you need to do to keep defenses honest and to open things up. So I'm in favor, like you said, more pre-snap motion, play action, getting Cook involved, running and passing. And then hopefully there's things that the Bills have kept back the last couple of weeks. Maybe they went into the Chargers and the Patriots games realizing we need to save our best stuff for Miami. Miami, we can get by the Chargers. We can get by New England without maybe our A-plus stuff. But we need this against the Dolphins. And we would see that from the Bills a lot in the past to where they would play some – sometimes they would play certain competition and you'd expect them to rout them or destroy a team and it would be a little bit closer than expected. Then they would play a solid opponent and you would just see the best version of the Buffalo Bills. That's what we need to see this Sunday night in Miami. And when you talk about this Bills offense, the last time they played Miami – that was probably the best they've looked all season. They dominated the Dolphins in Orchard Park. 48 points. Josh was electric. Those drives, they did whatever they wanted. A lot of dinking and dunking, but they were moving the ball. Josh even had some runs, which was strange for early in the year because he wasn't running the ball much overall. But this Dolphins defense being banged up, especially not having their edge rushers and Phillips and Chubb, that should give the Bills some opportunities to really move this ball and put some points up on the board. If Xavien Howard isn't playing, there's some obvious holes in this Miami defense. And I know they're better than what they might have been to start the season with Jalen Ramsey back. But I still think there's ways for the Bills to attack this Dolphins defense and put up some points.
Yeah, we have about a couple minutes left here. I just want to thank you all for listening on audio. If you're listening to this, you're probably tuning in to Ages Analysis, want to hear some previews about the Bills-Dolphins game, and I'm trying to give that the best I can to you. So, again, a big week for Bills fans. I mean, it's do or die. This is what football's about. This is what sports are about, these big games and big moments in the big lights. A couple of matchups I want to focus on real quick and touch on them, and then I'll ask you, Mike, your keys to the game or key to the game, and then your prediction. Sean McDermott versus Mike McDaniel, offensive mind versus the defensive mind in a big moment. Who prevails? I think that's a huge matchup to look at. Sean McDermott has gotten the best of Mike McDaniel. The last time the Bills were in Miami, they did lose in the Heat game where the Bills' whole team was kind of, you know, getting drenched in the sun and the heat index was over 100. And there were a lot of factors and Diggs was going on down and Gabe Davis played the whole game, but he was feeling it. There was a lot of injuries factors in that game. Offensive lineman going down, Tommy Doyle playing through a ACL injury. So there were a lot of factors in that one that led to that kind of performance. You got a night game now, so there's no excuse for the sun or the heat going down to Miami. Another matchup, obviously Allen versus Tua. You know, I trust Allen more than Tua, but again, Tua has shown at times to, you know, play some good football, and I think he's a good quarterback. Like you said, Mike, earlier in the show about this Dolphins offense against good teams, so I wanted to take a look at that. The Dolphins against teams that are above 500 right now and their kind of their performances, they scored 17 points against the Eagles on October 22nd. They scored 14 points against the Chiefs on November 5th. They scored 1 second. They scored 22 points against the Cowboys a couple weeks back, and then last week scored 19. So they're probably averaging against above 500 teams around 20 points per game. So that's like, and then early in the season against the Bills, they've scored 20. So they're, you know, you're really looking at a team that, like you said, Mike, does struggle against these upper echelon teams of the NFL. And again, that's another matchup you know, you can talk about, is, and we did talk about, was this Dolphins offense against this Bills defense. So Mike, looking at the matchups, you got Allen Tua, Mike McDaniel, McDermott. You got, you know, Tyreek Hill versus the Bills defense. There's a lot of things you can look at it this way. What's the key to the game for you, and what's your prediction?
My two keys to the game are, on offense, let Josh be Josh. This is, you've worked the last month to get to this point where you win and you get into the playoffs and you win the division. So you have an MVP caliber, future Hall of Fame quarterback in Josh Allen. You win big or you go home based on how he plays in this game, and you do not hold him back. Like I said earlier, want to see the pre-snap motion. I want to see the Bills have some creativity, some play action. But this is a game I let Josh do his thing, because this might need to be a 30-27 contest. And if you limit him in any way, you limit the Bills' chances of winning this game and making the playoffs. Second thing on defense, find a way to take away Tua's first reads. Make him hold on to the ball in the pocket. You saw in October when Tua was forced to hold on to the ball past his first read and enabled the Bills to get pressure, get to him, and kind of cause some issues. A.J. Epineza was a beast on the edge, taking away a lot of the quick hitters that Miami likes to throw to their running backs. So if you can make things a little bit more difficult for Tua, I think there's ways that you could pull this game out and get this divisional title for the fourth straight year. And you mentioned it. These good teams, when they play Miami, they have answers for what this Dolphins offense brings to the table. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I think it's because when you see some of the better teams in the league, they have more talent and they have coaching staffs that know how to utilize that talent. And Sean McDermott has had answers for Tyreek Hill in the past. Tyreek Hill has never had, I believe, more than 70 yards against the Bills in a regular season contest going back to his days in Kansas City. I don't have the playoff stats, so I'm sure he's probably had a few games better than that. But if the Bills can hold Miami under 24 points in this game, I'm pretty confident they'll find a way to win.
Do you have a score prediction?
Off the top of my head, I really haven't put too much thought, but what I'm thinking right now is something like 27-24, 30-27. I think both teams are going to get points. I think it's hard to really limit Miami under 20. And I think it's hard for most defenses to limit the Bills under 20. So I'll go 27-24 Bills, just because I think they're healthier right now. I think Miami has struggled against the Bills over the last 6 years. And I still think when you look at when the Bills lose to Miami, it's normally a game in which they outplay the Dolphins, but they made a mistake or two that cost them the game. You think about Josh Allen's 10-2 record against Miami. The two losses were the Heat game, in which the Bills outgained the Dolphins by over 250 yards, but failed to convert on a goal-to-go situation and then had the clock run out on them at the end. And then it was the Charles Clay drop at the end of the contest, Josh's rookie year. So this is really a team that Josh has had a ton of success against in his career for whatever reason. And while Dolphins fans are confident, and I'm sure their team is confident, and rightly so, they're a good football team, I think the Bills go into this game feeling like this is their contest to lose and that they should be the division champs at the end of the night.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I got the Bills 34-24 in this game. The Bills, you know, Bills Mafia has taken over that stadium, already more than 50% of the tickets. It's going to be a party down in South Beach. The Bills will win the division for the fourth straight season. I think the Bills have this one in good hands. I'm pretty confident about this pick. I picked them to lose the Chiefs, and I picked them to lose the Dallas Cowboys. That was just because, you know, 6-6, and I think I was more of like the thought of they probably drop one of these games just because of everything that happened in the Eagles' emotional high, and they played really good football. And I just thought that I wasn't as confident, I should say, about those picks. But with this one, I do feel pretty good. I think the Bills get it done. They have, like you said, Mike, less injuries are, that they're dealing with. The Dolphins have struggled against the good teams in this league in recent memory. And the Dolphins, again, they were 8-3 last season too, and then they kind of went and they finished 9-8 or 10-7 or something like that. So they also finished last year on a downward spiral. They already had the playoffs clinched. They want to get healthy, and the Bills have a lot more to play for than these Dolphins, especially if nothing goes the Bills' way and it's a win-and-in situation. I just don't see Josh Allen in Miami, a team that he's dominated year in, year out, go into that game with his season on the line for a potential two seed and going home with a loss. I just don't see that happening. I'll take Josh Allen in any sport, any day of the week. He's a competitor, and he, you know, again, has dominated this Dolphins team. So really looking forward to it. It's going to be a great, great matchup. It all comes down to this. The Dolphins playing their big brother, a team that has dominated them in the past. Mike, let people know where they can find you and what you got coming up.
Yeah, you can find me on social media on Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok. Look up Mike_Bunt on Twitter. That's B-U-N-D-T. Love engaging with everyone. Not quite as big as the great AJ Cebulski, but still trying to grow my page. And then on Twitter, on YouTube and TikTok, you can find me at Bunt Takes, trying to grow both of those brands. Have a lot of Bills content throughout the week, short videos, stuff, opinions on the Bills, Sabres, and additional Buffalo takes. So appreciate anybody that follows or subscribes to my channels, and definitely try to engage with all my followers and people that watch my content.
I just want to thank everybody for a great year in 2023. This has kind of been my first year on a platform like this, being able to speak with all of you. It's been awesome getting, you know, the downloads each week and seeing all the listeners week in, week out. I greatly, greatly appreciate it. It's been a fun 2023, and I'm looking forward to what's to come in 2024. I don't know what the future holds for me, but as of right now, I'm still doing ages analysis of Buffalo Rumblings, and that's all that matters. Next week, hopefully I'm talking about a Bills playoff matchup. That would be key, not talking about an end of season recap, giving my thoughts on how the season went, and just, you know, their overall. It'll be a different tone because we can look at them, the Broncos. Well, it'll be a different tone if the Bills lose this game, and we can look at it in a different light. But as for now, it's AJ Cebulski here with Mike Bunt from Trainwreck Sports, and we are going to, you know, I don't know if we'll ever be happy with a Bills loss in this one, but there's a lot to look forward to in positive light as well with the Bills moving forward. So thank you all for listening, and I will see you guys next week, and hopefully it's for a Bills playoff matchup.